Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Chapter 88. Sri Krishna saves Shiva from the demon Rikashur. Parikshit asks a question to Shukadeva Goswami. If worship of Lord Vishnu is the ultimate goal of human life, then why are the worshippers of Lord Vishnu, the devotees, usually poor and poverty-stricken, whereas worshippers of Lord Shiva are often very wealthy? On one side, we see that Lord Shiva is a strict renunciate, whereas Lord Vishnu is the husband of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmipati. It appears that the results attained by the worshippers of these two lords of opposite character are contrary to what one would expect. In other words, it seems ironical. You worship a rich man and you become poor. You worship a poor man and become rich. Vishnu Chakravarti explains that this chapter 88 will describe how only Vishnu is worthy of worship. Why? Because Vishnu is beyond the three modes of material nature. Whereas Lord Shiva contacts and touches the material modes. And as a result, he was put into danger by his own devotee, Brika. Vishnu and his devotees, on the other hand, are always exchanging loving bliss on the transcendental platform beyond the modes of nature, whereas Shiva and his devotees, caught up in the modes of material nature, Raja, Tama, Sattva, only experience suffering. The personified Vedas have already stated that among the primary forms of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, Bhagavan and his devotee are the best. Now in this chapter, it will be pointed out that amongst Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Vishnu is the most excellent and most worthy of service. Parikshit Maharaj said to his guru, Sri Shukamuni, "You ended the preceding chapter with the recommendation that one should always meditate on Lord Hari, Dhyayed Ajasram Harim, the bestower of liberation. Why then do ordinary people fear that they will lose their wealth and social status by worshipping Hari, and prefer instead to worship Lord Hara, Shiva? Persons with materialistic vision perceive Shiva as inauspicious because he covers his body with ashes from the crematorium and wears inauspicious items like skulls and snakes. But we see that the worshippers of Shiva enjoy abundant sense gratification, whereas the worshippers of Vishnu enjoy neither wealth nor sense gratification. Those who worship Lord Shiva, who himself lives like a beggar, they become rich and powerful, while those who worship Vishnu, the master of Lakshmi, become reduced to abject poverty." Shukadeva Goswami said, "Parikshit, at the conclusion of the Ashwamedha sacrifices, your grandfather, Lord Yudhishthira, once asked Lord Krishna the very same question. The Lord was very pleased and replied to Yudhisthira as follows. Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tadanam shane tato danam tyajant yasya swajana dukadukitam. Text 8, chapter 87. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "Yudhisthira, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth, Then his relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way he suffers one distress after another. This text 8 is a rather extensive commentary of Vishwanath. He says, a man suffers when he loses his wealth, and thus, due to poverty, he suffers even more due to being rejected by his relatives. Devotees of the Supreme Lord experience both happiness and distress. But the happiness and distress of devotees does not come to them as the fruits of their karma, punya, papa, karma, material work. But these fruits come as incidental effects of their loving reciprocation with Lord Sri Krishna. It's stated in Bhagavat 1.2.9, Dharmasya Yapavargasya, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. This is also demonstrated in the words of Bhishmadev, who said that devotees engage only in devotional service. Devotional scriptures such as Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explain how a Vaishnava is relieved of all karmic reactions, including those that have not yet begun to manifest, which are known as aprarabdha, and those that are just about to manifest, kuta, and those that are barely manifest, bijam, and those that have manifested fully, parabdha. As a lotus gradually loses its many petals, a person who practices bhakti bhajan, one by one, has all his karmic reactions destroyed. The fact that Krishna bhakti destroys devotees' karmic reactions is confirmed in the Gopātapani Shruti, Purva 15. Bhaktirasya bhajanam tad iha mutropadi nairasyenami ushmin manaha kalpanam etadeva naishkarmyam. Quote, devotional service is the process of worshipping the Supreme Lord. It consists of fixing the mind upon Krishna by becoming disinterested in all material designations, both in this life and the next. This results in a dissolution of all karma. The meaning of this statement from Gopātapani Upanishad is that by becoming freed from material desires, a devotee can fix his mind and senses, manakalpanam, in Krishna's service, bhakti bhajanam, and become free from karma, naishkarmyam. This must be the meaning because of the grammatical agreement of the words, bhajanam, manakalpanam, and naishkarmyam. Therefore, by doing bhajan, all karmas are destroyed, even though the devotee is still situated in the material body. This happens due to the inconceivable mercy of the Lord, who bestows the fruits of devotion. Although the happiness and distress devotees experience resembles ordinary karmic reactions, prarabdha, they are in fact given by the Lord Himself. 1087.40 Bhavat Uta Shubhashubhaya. Mature devotee recognizes the superficially good and bad conditions he encounters as signs of the direct guidance of his ever well-wishing Lord, someone can ask. But if Lord Krishna is so compassionate to his devotees, why does he expose them to special suffering? This is answered by an analogy. A very affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his child's play and making them go to school. He knows that school is a genuine, that this act is a genuine expression of his love for his children, even if the children cannot appreciate it. The Supreme Lord Vishnu is mercifully strict with all his dependents, not only with immature devotees struggling to become qualified. Even perfect saints like Prahlad and Dhruva were subjected to great tribulations. But in the end, the Lord gave them profuse enjoyment of wealth and material happiness. On the other hand, persons like Yudhisthira, the great jewel of perfected saints, experienced great unhappiness. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma described to King Yudhisthira his wonder at all this. Bhishma said after Kurukshetra, "Ah, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. Time is irreversible, otherwise how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? A Bhima, a club fighter, renowned, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty Gandiv, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wishers of the Pandavas. O Parikshit, no one can know the plan of Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. 1:9, 15-16. The conclusion is that only Lord himself, affectionate to his devotees, knows his intentions and no one else. One should refer to Bhishma's prayers in the first canto to consider all the points mentioned here. But it may be questioned, what distinguishes the happiness and distress caused by one's own karma that brought about by personality of Godhead? Material happiness and distress arising from karma leave a subtle residue, the seed of desire, karma bija, which causes future entanglement. Such enjoyment and suffering tend toward degradation and increase the danger of falling to hellish condition. The happiness and distress generated from the Supreme Lord's will, however, and not the jiva's desires. And this is the special phenomenon about the happiness and distress of Krishna's devotee. The happiness and distress generated from Krishna's will, however, and not the jiva's desires, leave no trace after their immediate purpose has been filled. The Vaishnava who enjoys reciprocation with the Lord is in no danger of falling down into hell. Yamraj tells the same to his servants in 6th canto 329. Listen, Yamadutes, only bring me sinful persons who don't glorify the name and qualities of Krishna. Their hearts never remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Yamadutes, only bring to me those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Sri Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Krishna, which are the only duties for a human being to perform. Please bring all such fools and rascals to me. 6:329, Vishwanath. Devotees are the objects of Krishna's affection. Therefore, their suffering is never extreme. How can one consider the suffering arising from karma and that due to the Lord's to be equal? One is like pain arising from receiving a beating from an enemy, and the other is like that caused by one's mother. One is like poison, the other is like nectar. But is that the Lord who can do anything? cannot accomplish his purpose without giving stress to his devotees?
Yes.
Yes, he is a reservoir of unlimited pleasure and pastimes. He cannot accomplish his purposes without this. But when he sometimes gives suffering to his beloved devotees, that suffering gives rise to great pleasure, just as a stinging ointment applied by a physician cures his patient's infected eye. In addition, suffering of the devotees protects the confidentiality of bhakti and prevents the disruption of the beliefs of the various categories of outsiders. Let me repeat that. In addition, suffering protects the confidentiality of bhakti and it prevents the disruption of the beliefs of the various categories of outsiders. And suffering increases the eagerness with which devotees who are suffering call upon the Lord to appear. Moreover, if the devotees were complacently happy all the time, the Lord would never have a reason to appear in this world as Krishna, Ram, and Nisringa. Since they come to protect the devotees and destroy the demons, as Krishna says himself in Gita 4:8, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chudiskritam. Without the Lord showing himself on this earth in his original form of Vrindavan Sri Krishna and other incarnations, how would the devotees in this world be able to enjoy playing in the nectar ocean of the Rasa-lila and Krishna's other pastimes? But what fault would there be in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? Yes, my brother, this makes good sense, what you're saying. But you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. The sunrise appears attractive because of the darkness of night. During hot summer, winter cold gives comfort. The sunrise appears attractive because of the darkness of night. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, but not in glaring light of the day. When one is disinterested by hunger, food tastes especially good. There's no need to elaborate more. When one becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I bestow my special mercy upon him. How would the devotees in this world be able to enjoy playing in the nectar ocean of the Rasa-lila and Govinda's other pastimes? And someone can say, but what fault would there be in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? Reply, yes, my dear brother, this makes good sense, but you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. The sunrise appears attractive because of the darkness of night. During the hot summer, cold water gives comfort, and during the cold winter months, warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. There is no need to elaborate more. Bhagavan goes on. Sayada vitato yogo nirvana syad tanehaya matpare krita maitrasya karishye mad anugraham. Bhagavan said, Sri Krishna. When one becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I will bestow my special mercy on him. I will give my mercy to him. This is Vishnath. This is the second mercy. I will cause an extraordinary shower of sweet bhakti ras to rain down on my devotees. It was for this first purpose that my first mercy bore the fruit of tormenting pain. In this verse, Krishna's words, Karishye Mad Anugraham, I give my mercy, can be better stated that I give mercy in the form of my very self. Lord Vishnu is very kind. So before giving any benediction to his devotees, he first considers whether that benediction or gift, will it or will it not be for the ultimate good of my devotee. On the other hand, the demigods may very quickly award any benedictions, but they do so without consideration. To illustrate this point, I shall narrate to you an interesting story. Once there was a demon, Rikka, the son of Shukuni, who wanted to get a benediction by worshipping Shiva. Narada told him, worship Shiva and you'll quickly get success, because he's easily pleased. Rikishore went to Kedarnath, started cutting his flesh and offering in the fire. Om Namo Shivaya Swaha. Om Namo Shivaya Swaha. Om Namo Shivaya Swaha. He did this continually, cutting off his body and throwing in the fire in oblations. Yet after a week, Shiva failed to, or 6 days, Shiva failed to appear. On the seventh day, the demon bathed in a lake, and with his body wet, he decided to cut his head and offer his head. At that moment, becoming compassionate, Shiva rose out of the sacrificial fire, grabbed Rikasura's arm, and keep him from cutting off his head. As soon as Shiva touched the demon's body, all the cuts and bruises and lacerations and wounds he had inflicted on himself over the last 6 days became instantly healed. Lord Shiva spoke, my friend, please stop. Ask from me whatever you want, and I shall give it to you. You have tortured your body for no reason, for I am pleased with even a little water offered by one who approaches me for shelter, Rikasura said. Now this is what I would like. When I touch anyone on the head with my hand, may it crack open, and may that person I touch die on the spot. Lord Shiva felt some regret to hear this rather diabolical request, but he did not want to withdraw his promise to fulfill his devotee's request, so he said, Om, which means assent. It appeared as if he was giving milk to a poisonous snake. After getting this benediction of cracking heads, the demon decided to test it on Shiva and then steal his wife Parvati so he could enjoy her himself. As the demon approached him and touched his head, Shiva became frightened and trembled and ran here and there as the demon chased him in the land, sky, planet to planet. Shiva was seeking help from different demigods. Brahman Indra kept silent and no way to save him from impending danger. Then he went to Shvetadweep, the Vaikuntha planet in the material atmosphere. Understanding the situation, Vishnu disguised himself as a brahmachari. Deer skin, brahmachari stick, prayer and mala, very effulgent. He said, listen, my dear son of Shukuni, you seem to be tired after running for such great distance. Please rest a while. What is your intention? Hearing these words, Rikasura felt that it was sweet nectar and relieved him of his fatigue. Rikasura told him everything. Vishnu replied, I cannot believe that Lord Shiva has spoken truthfully. After all, he is not in a very sane condition. Having been cursed to become like a ghost after quarreling with his father-in-law, Daksha, Still, if you have any faith in Lord Shiva's words, then you should put them to the test by touching your own head with your own hand as an experiment. If this benediction proves false, you can suitably chastise the liar so that in the future Shiva will not give any more false benedictions. Implying his Yogamaya Shakti to bewilder the foolish Rikishura with an enchanting speech, without even knowing what he was doing, the demon touched his head and it shattered, and he fell down dead, and the demigod said, "Die, die! Sadhu, sadhu! Namaha, namaha!" and showered flowers on Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Vishnu said, "Just see, O Mahadev, how this wicked man was killed by his own sinful reactions. What good fortune can anyone expect if he offends great souls? And so, what to speak of offending the spiritual master of the universe?" Actually, in this verse, in chapter 88, 37, Lord Vishnu is instructing Lord Shiva about how a man gets instant karma reactions for his own sins, even immediately sometimes. And in that verse, he said, "What can a living being hope, how much good fortune can he hope to attain if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe?" Vishnu's statement implies a mild scolding of Shiva. "My dear possessor of unlimited vision, O you of clear intelligence, benedictions should not be given to wicked demons in this way. You could have been killed, but you were only concerned about saving this poor soul, so you disregarded what would happen to you as a result." By this mild rebuke, Lord Narayan is also highlighting the exceptional compassion of the powerful Lord Shiva, who even risked his own life to benedict his crazy worshipper. Shukadeva concludes the chapter with the Shutifal, text 40, a verse of benediction for the hearers and readers of chapter 88. "Yeva mavya krita shaktyudanvita parasya sakshat paramatmano hare kiritra moksham katayech chinotiva vimuchyate sam sriti bistatara ibi." Lord Hari is directly manifest absolute truth, the supreme soul and unlimited ocean of inconceivable energies. Anyone who recites or hears this pastime of his saving Lord Shiva will be freed from all enemies and the repetition of birth and death. That's a very nice benediction. Get free from enemies. Different chapters have different benedictions. Free from enemies, free from fever, never experience defeat, free from sins. In other words, the Bhagavatam is the ultimate remedy and the supreme medicine for any problem we may have, because it generates pure bhakti in the heart of the soul, in the heart of the jiva. And by the power of that pure bhakti, kleshagni, shubhadan kleshagni, pure bhakti, one of the characteristics is that it destroys all avidya, nartha, sins, and all the reactions. And ultimately, pure bhakti, karmani nirdhati kintu chabhakti bhajan, shud bhakti bhajan, purifies all the karmas, the parabdha, aparabdha, kutam, and bijam. Om Namo Narayan, Om Namo Narayan, Om Namo Narayan.